The starting point was long time ago.
Anna Roussos, named best wedding photographer in Europe by The Wed.
Do you have any posing tips for the brides?
Best posing tip I can give.
Anna photographs weddings all over the world.
What is the luxury brand? What does it really mean?
With a background in fashion photography, she has been featured in many famous magazines, such as Vogue, Elle, Martha Stewart Weddings.
I think one wedding is not enough.
Her style? Timeless, with an editorial touch.
Your client should be able to say, I hired Anna Roussos to be my wedding photographer.
Every single question you have about the wedding industry will be answered here. I'm Antonis Papadakis, and this is The Wed Podcast. Welcome. If you do like us, share some love and press the subscribe button. Let's start. Hello, Anna. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
It's an honor for us to have you here.
Thank you.
It's a very special episode with you because I'm very excited about your work in total. What was your starting point in the industry?
I have been a wedding photographer for over 15 years, a bit over 15 years. So the starting point was a long time ago. If we go back to the roots, I have studied TV directing in the university in Moscow. And I worked for 2 years as a TV director. Definitely that experience taught me so much. And there's a lot of knowledge from that that I use today in my business. After I moved to Greece, and because I didn't speak Greek, it was really hard to find a job as a TV director. So photography was always sort of a hobby to me. So when I moved to Greece, it became the only way available for me to express my creativity. So I started working, not even working, but like cooperating with model agencies at first. I did so many test shoots for the models. Honestly, I was doing them every second day. This helped me to build my portfolio, to master my skills in the photography a lot. My dream was to work as in fashion photography. And eventually I started working with some magazines in Greece. Everything was amazing, and then crisis happened and big publishers closed, and that was it. So at this very point, I had already a website, which had mostly my fashion work there. And I get a request from a friend of a friend who is getting married in Santorini. Anna, we want you to be our wedding photographer. And I tell them, guys, but I've never photographed a wedding. And they say, but we love your vision. I mean, you were doing fashion. How difficult it is to photograph a wedding? I mean, I was very pleased to see that trust they had in me. To be honest, I was never seeing myself building a career in wedding photography. I even saw the wedding photography as a genre that is not really creative and doesn't allow a lot of like artistic expression. So to be very, very honest, the only reason I agreed to do this job is because I've never been to Santorini. So I go to Santorini, I photograph this wedding. I was very lucky. The wedding planner was Stella in Moscha, one of the most successful wedding planners in Greece right now. I approached this wedding with all the knowledge I had from fashion photography, and the result was quite different to what was going on the Greek market amongst Greek photographers back then. So it created a lot of like rumors and like, who is she? What is this? Anna Roussos, she doesn't speak Greek. Who is this girl? I posted this gallery on my site mixed with the fashion photos. I started receiving requests. And I had back then this talk to myself. I remember I sat down and I told myself, I accepted actually that I enjoyed a lot photographing a wedding. I enjoyed a lot witnessing these real moments between the couple, this raw emotion, actually working with real couple and real emotions. This is something you do not have in fashion photography. So this was the point where I said, okay, I can see myself building a career as a wedding photographer. And this is where everything started. I remade my site completely. It was a wedding photography oriented. Already back then, 15 years ago, I worked very hard on search engine optimization. I wanted to make sure that the clients can find me. And then it was just a big boom. So wedding photography career was not something that I could like foresee and plan. I had different plans for myself in photography, but I'm very happy right now for where I am.
So back then, what images was your favorite?
Back then, after fashion, when I got into wedding photography world, what was going on in Europe in wedding photography didn't really inspire me that much. Back then, it was more of like a photojournalistic, a raw photojournalistic approach. I wanted something more airy, more romantic, more creative. So I started looking around and I got very much inspired by US wedding photographers and specifically fine art wedding photography style, which is like very airy, a little bit overexposed, washed out colors. I absolutely loved it. And it's something that I introduced into my photography. I was reading a lot of books about this style. There's a lot of great literature from Jose Villa, Elizabeth Messina. I read all their books from beginning till the end many times. And it worked really well because actually I was one of the first photographers back then who offered some, you know, this style in Greek market. So it was something different and it made me stand out, certainly.
How would you describe your style now, your photography style?
My style now has almost nothing to do with fine art. I would say that today my style is an elegant reportage with a dash of fashion, like a big splash of fashion on it. This is something that I worked to find my style. I worked on it for more than a decade. It's something very difficult to find your signature. It takes time. Also, you grow, your taste changes. So it took me a lot of polishing to get where I am today. But I think changing the style, especially the milestone for me, was this change from the fine art to the style that I have today, because we can also talk about this later. It was a milestone in my career which helped me reach to more high-end weddings and high-end clientele.
Let's move on to the actual wedding day. How do you prepare the couple for this day?
Well, I truly believe that 70% of successful photography result lies in very thoughtful and thorough preparation. So I ask my clients, my couples, to allow me in a way on their wedding planning, especially timeline planning of the wedding day part. And here there is also a lot of communication with a wedding planner involved. Ideally, I would love to see the timeline, like a draft of the timeline before it's set in stone. Mm-hmm. So we can schedule a call with the couple and with the wedding planner and to go carefully over this draft and to make sure that we have enough time to first capture everything that we want to capture, that the client want to have captured, to have enough time to let those moments to unfold naturally without them feeling rushed. To get creative and also to take advantage, let's say, of the most flattering light of the day. So this is very important for me, this preparation process. And then based on this wedding day timeline, I create a wedding photography timeline. So wedding photography timeline, it's like an offspring of the wedding timeline, but it can become a very intricate document on its own with a lot of lines. So we basically write down everything minute by minute. One thing that I learned is that if you do not include something in the timeline, most likely it is not going to happen on the wedding day.
If you don't know the venue, so you don't know the locations that you can make the portraits or any images there, yeah. How you get prepared for this?
So this happens quite often to me because I'm a destination wedding photographer and sometimes I travel to places I've never been before. Of course, if this is completely new location for me and new venue, I will make sure to arrive a day before and even go and do some scouting a day before the actual wedding day just to see the venue. And not only me by myself, but with my team. To find the corners that would work the best, to see where the light will be and the sun at the certain time of the day. So we can have a solid plan and not waste time on the wedding day for these things, you know, to figure them out because there's no time for such thing. Another thing I wanted to say, very important for me when it comes to preparation, is creating mood boards with clients. And what I actually do is I ask almost all of my couples to put for me a mini mood board that will represent the photos that they like. And it doesn't have to be necessary my photos. I just want to see what kind of images make them click, what kind of mood, what kind of, mostly, yeah, it's a mood, as a feel. It doesn't mean that this mood board represents like some photos that we will mimic. Not at all. That doesn't serve that purpose. But it's very important for me to understand what do they like. Like on my portfolio, you can see various type of images. Some of them are candid. Some of them are very romantic. Some are very like fashion oriented. But there is one thing that I will never do is I would impose something onto a couple or ask them to do something or photograph them in a way that doesn't represent who they are. So it's very important for me to understand what they like. And, you know, very often clients, they say, okay, we love your work. Like we like romantic photos. We like candid. And you ask them to put the mood board together and it's super fashion oriented. It's like edgy. They pick photos from some fashion campaigns. So sometimes it's very hard even for them to verbalize what they like. But when they do this exercise of putting things together in the mood board, they can understand also better what images they truly appreciate more than the other.
So you are more relaxed on the wedding day.
Absolutely.
When you know everything.
Yes. And also, you know, I'm a very creative person. So when I have the like a creative freedom, I would always grab on it and I will do something about it. It's not that with every client or couple, you can try some new ideas that you might have in your mind, like I want to do this shot or this shot. But there are some couples who are more open to experimenting and they're more into photography and they really want to invest time in it and they want to go an extra mile. So also creating, asking them to create this mood board, it kind of allows me to determine, are they those clients who will want to go an extra mile with me together and create some, you know, artistic images just beyond regular wedding photography.
What do you want to know about them before you book the date with them?
So if you mean, let me say it that way. I would never, like, there's no certain information that I require that will determine whether I'll say yes or no to the client. In reality, there was only a couple of times when I turned down the client, but it's really an exception, happened twice during the whole career. And mostly it was because at some point I realized that what they like, what they really want, has nothing to do with what my photography is. And I think it's very important to be extremely transparent and honest when you realize something like this. And it can, it doesn't have to do only with wedding photography, but the wedding planners or any other artist as well. Yes. So I told them, guys, you will be better off with another photographer. I'm a wrong choice. Apart from that, there is nothing that I require to know, like specifically about the client. What I can say is that I receive a lot of requests directly. Many also come from the planners. And I'm proud to say that there are a lot of requests, that a lot of weddings that I book without even having a call with the client. And this is not something very usual, but I'm proud because it actually means that I managed to create such a brand identity and to create trust throughout my portfolio, my online presence, my social media, that the client feels confident to book my services without having a call with me. And then we will have a call later on, like, you know, in a couple of months. But I do prefer, of course, connecting with the couples before they book the date.
For sure, we can see all these things you said for your portfolio, your website, and all the, even the text you've written, that it represents a very high-end brand.
Yes, it is very important, absolutely. It plays such a big role. And I mean, for me, it's a compliment that they're ready to book me without even talking to me. But again, I have to say that it's very important and it's always better to have this call because the besides that, okay, you see work that you like, you see the high quality of service, you like the person that you see through the social media and so on. But it's super important to make sure there is this emotional connection, because the wedding photographer is the person who will be part of your wedding memories. The wedding photographer is the person who spends more time with the bride than the groom spends with the bride on the wedding day. So you definitely want to choose carefully this person.
In case you haven't done it already, please hit the subscribe button for our channel so that we keep growing. The more you help us grow, the more interesting professionals we will be able to host. So subscribe today. So what about your preparation on the wedding day?
On the wedding day. Well, on the wedding day, there is no much preparation involved, to be honest. That's what I say. The 70% of success lies in the all preparation process that takes place sometimes a year, like throughout the year before the wedding. So one thing I want to make sure on the morning of the wedding day that I slept well, because usually it's many hours of standing and having equipment and managing sometimes like a stressful situation. So you want to be like, you have a peace of mind and you want to be in a good place psychologically. So I always try to make sure that we have a relaxing morning with the team. We share like a late breakfast together. We might do a bit of sunbathing depending where we're, you know, at which location. And then we just, you know, go with the right mindset, with a happy mindset to photograph a wedding.
Did you watch other photographers' images before you go, or you want a empty mind out of them?
No, I don't specifically like look at any other photographers before the wedding, but I do have a board, like a mood board. We have it together with Thanos, actually, my husband, an excellent photographer on his own. We have a common mood board where we pin different photos, mostly from fashion photography, some interesting concepts and ideas that spark something in us. So when we find those clients who are ready to go an extra mile, then we say, maybe we try, you know, and get inspired from here and, you know, build on this idea. But otherwise, nothing, rather than just going through the mood boards if I already prepared it with my customers, with my couples. Of course, briefing the team, this is a very important part of the preparation. We sit down during the breakfast in a very relaxed atmosphere and we read through the timeline. I also have a special timeline for each member of the team.
Of your team?
Yeah, so they don't have to carry the whole list, like everyone, like because we split many times. So each of us has his own timeline. An assistant has his own timeline. So everyone has different tasks.
Big time now.
Yes.
My favorite question.
Let's go there.
Do you have any posing tips for the brides?
The best posing tip I can give has nothing to do with posing. You have to choose your photographer very wisely, because it is not your headache. It is not your stress to think, how I'm going to do? Do I have to practice standing in front of the mirror and seeing like what are going to be better angles for me? This is not a job of a couple. It's purely entirely the job of the photographer. And he's the only person who should care about this. Also, wedding photography is all about body language. And for example, you can feel like, I'm beautiful, I look amazing, but if your body language says otherwise, like if your posture is not perfect, if your lips are tense, if your fists are like that and so on, then this will translate into photograph and it will not look beautiful and confident and relaxed. And the good news that with the body language, it works the other way around. So if your photographer guides you through the process and suggests you more flattering posture, more flattering position of your hands, or even more flattering movements that will eventually relax you, look more flattering, and they will make you feel good at the end and, you know, follow the flow and forget about you're being photographed and just enjoying the process. It's very, very important to have someone guiding you throughout the photo shoot. I truly believe so.
Are there any photography trends you follow, or do you prefer, let's say, the timeless images?
I certainly do not follow any photography trends that have to do with specific color correction. I think those that have the shortest lifespan, and like if it's a brownish or pinkish or whatever it is, after a few years, you look back at the photos and it's like, oh my God, why did I do this? You'll be pulling your hair. There is certainly like a fine art style, but it's more of an approach. It's not just a trend. And that's why it's lasts for so long. It's still very popular. There is still a lot of couples who are in love with fine art photography, for instance, and those soft and very romantic images. So I did follow it for the long time. But apart from that, I do not want right now, and I don't feel a need to follow any trends, because I'm really happy where I am right now. I feel like I found this a cocktail mix for my own style that I'm super happy about. So I don't want to go anywhere from there right now.
We talked about the inspiring stuff. Yes. Now we will talk about the difficulties.
Let's do it.
What about demanding events and working with high-end clients?
I have to be honest, I have pretty same approach if it comes like to a smaller intimate wedding or a demanding like high-end event. I have a very scientific approach to wedding photography. The biggest difference with demanding events is that usually it's a multi-days event. There is a lot of production involved, and there were a lot of money that were put on the table to make this 3 days, 4 days event to happen. So it certainly adds a layer of pressure on the wedding photographer, and not only on all of the wedding vendors. Apart from that, like in my approach, there is no really a difference, not really much different from me. And you start working with a high-end clientele and position yourself as a luxury service, the biggest challenge, task, is to actually live up to the standard of the word luxury. So what is the luxury brand? What does it really mean? I really like the acronym REPA to describe the meaning of luxury brand, where R stands for rare. It means that the service or the product that you offer has to be something rare to find, not something you can find on every corner of the street. E stands for exclusive. So it has to be something available, not for the vast majority of the audience, potential clients, but to, you know, a more smaller group. Exclusivity is also has to do with the price tag very often. Hence, all of the like luxury fashion brands, they have very high price tag. P stands for prestigious. Luxury brand has to be prestigious. What it means in a wedding photography is that your client should be able to say, should be proud to say that I hired Anna Russos to be my wedding photographer. I hired the X wedding planner to be my wedding planner. And A stands for authenticity. Authentic brand is a brand that is really very transparent, that has super clear communication, and that is very, very consistent in everything it does, like from the images, like in our case, like we choose, in my case, I choose for my portfolio, to the tone of voice that I choose, to the way I write my marketing messages. So the bottom line that when you work with high-end clientele, it's not only about providing an exceptional quality of the like photos, it's about the emotional connection. It's about how you make them feel from the very beginning of your cooperation to the very, very end.
So you have to be consistent to all this REPA.
You have to be consistent. You have to keep all of this in mind. Those are like check boxes that you have to make sure to check in order to, you know, get to work with this kind of clientele. And this is, I find, like the difficulty, because you have to monitor it all the time. It's like an ongoing process.
So my next question is this. How did you get to work with high-end clients? Because if you have REPA, it's easier.
Absolutely. Okay? Well, it's certainly something that didn't happen overnight. There is so many hours, years of dedication and commitment and hard work that were involved and happening behind the scenes. And even today that I got to work with high-end clientele, it doesn't mean that I stopped doing everything that I was doing to get here. And I think this is a secret sauce behind the successful businesses and all for all entrepreneurs, that you have to constantly keep and push yourself to go this extra mile, to go out of your comfort zone, to push yourself to grow, no matter if you already achieved and happy to be where you are.
Was there a wedding in your career that gives you the portfolio that allows you to get into the high-end clients and their events, the demanding events?
I think one wedding is not enough. There were several things. Like, for me, the big change was the change of style. This was something that really was a big milestone, as I mentioned before. And all together with some weddings that I've done in this style and some new like marketing efforts that I did, like networking, which means cooperating with some new wedding planners and so on, all this together, not just one wedding, helped me and pushed my business forward to start working with more high-end clients. There's one very important thing to understand, that you can be like an amazing photographer, very artistic, creative, excellent photographs, but if you do not have a strong brand that supports your business, and if you don't have a marketing strategy, no one will ever find out about you. So working on your brand, on your branding, and working on your marketing is crucial.
Okay, but you had the feeling that I'm changing my style.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing this networking, and this will bring me into these weddings. You have the feeling, or just happened flow?
No. It was, everything was very much calculated. I'm a person who usually thinks years in front, like where I want to be some years in front. So in the past, doing destination wedding photography, which involves working with high-end clientele at a certain point, was not on my radar at all. I had a little girl, she was my daughter, she was at very young age, so I didn't want to leave her and travel. I had no absolutely options with someone to leave and stay with her, so it was not on my plans. She grew up, and slowly I was telling to myself, why not? I'm really excited about these opportunities to capture weddings in Italy, in France, in US, in Brazil, like you name it. So there was a strategy behind it, as the strategy I had, how I'm gonna change my style and transition from fine art into the style that I have today without shocking my current clients with like who booked me as a fine art photographer and now they receive something else. So this was stretched into a span of 2.5 years, I would say. And also aiming to work as a destination wedding photographer definitely had some steps. Like I said, okay, I have to reach out to certain planners. I have to make sure to get some publicity. I already had some destination weddings in my portfolio, but it was not a majority for me back then. So I was trying to promote more that I do destination weddings. And then the hardest and the most scariest thing to do, you know what was it? Besides changing my style, I removed the title from my homepage of my site as a wedding photographer in Greece completely. And I put the wedding photographer in Europe. To tell you how scared I was to do this is to say nothing. I was thinking I'll just lose all of my Greek, not Greek clients, but the destination clients that I have who are getting married in Greece. I was so scared, but you have to get out of your comfort zone to get to what you want. It's not happening without risks. And I'm so happy I started marketing myself through my site, through my social media. I also changed the caption biography in the Instagram, as well as a wedding photographer based in Europe, not specifically in Greece. So there were a lot of little steps taken that helped me to get where I'm today. And I'm very happy that, you know, I risked, because without this, nothing would have happened.
So about your style, okay, that you change it,
yeah,
in the way so you go to high-end clients.
Just a small correction here. I changed it, my style.
For you.
Yes. That was the weirdest thing to do from the side, I would say, if someone who didn't know what was my motivation, because I had a very successful business. I had a strong brand image already, and all of my portfolio was fine art. The approach, the colors, everything that was representing my brand. But at some point, my taste changed slowly, slowly. I realized I'm drawn more to different things. And I felt in a way like in a box in this style, creatively wise. I was longing for more raw images, more some images that are fun, more images that were flash, more like editorial looking. And the fine art style is not about it. So I did it for myself. And that was also very, very scary, because whoever knew me, they were like, why are you doing this? You have a successful business. Why are you changing it like on the peak? Who does that? But actually, this, when I successfully finished the transition, what it did, it helped me to differentiate and create a gap between me and like some of my competitors on the Greek market and European market as well. There were fewer of us who work in the current style that I'm working, so it helped me to stand out eventually.
How hard it is for you to pick your best photos for the gallery that you will deliver to the couple? After 1,000 yes. photos that you so, capture.
I'll tell you this. It's not hard. I'm so picky. I'm very, very picky person. So I can easily say good or bad, good or bad, good or bad. The thing is that I brief my team and myself. I constantly remind to myself not to over photograph. I loved what I kept through fine art photography is the approach when it comes to how careful you have to be when you take every photo, especially when you work with film. Every photo costs you money, okay? So you need to have this approach, because when you start shooting and spraying, you end up with thousands of images, and then there are so many similar ones, it's a nightmare. So at this point, I have a team that works for me, and I have a person in my team that does first culling. So he gives me, let's say from a wedding, 100 photos or 1,200, let's say on average. And then I will do the final cull down, which will be, let's say 850 or 900. It depends on how many hours
from
of his coverage.
Footage.
No, from all our footage.
From all your footage?
Yes, yes.
Not from just him?
No. He's the person who's doing culling for me. So he calls down all of the photos of mine, the second photographer, if there's a third photographer. So he calls down them all.
So you just take the 800, 900?
Yes, he does the first step of the culling. So he removes all the duplicates, bad ones, like where flash didn't fire. And then he sends them to me. And then I'll just remove the ones that I believe are not up to the standard, or someone have a weird expression. I always ask him to leave more options for couples' portraits or for someone's portraits, because there is those little difference that makes for me a lot of like a little details that make a lot of difference for me. So I would prefer to pick those myself. But it's not difficult. I can be very decisive when it's choosing good or bad. What's difficult for me is to being satisfied with my own work. I'm very self like criticizing person, you know, I can be very tough on myself.
So in the end of the day, how many pictures it will stay at the gallery?
I would say that for the coverage of 8 hours wedding, it would be around 700, 750, maybe 800 images, something like that. It all depends a lot about on the event. I do have like a minimum guarantee that I write in the contract, but then if the party goes crazy, you know, especially party can add like a lot of images.
Pictures.
Yes. So it depends on the event. If we take more photos than we agreed on with the couple, I do not keep anything to myself. I give all of the photos to them, but there is like a minimum that I know that no matter what, we are going to produce these images in 8 hours.
So as you said, you have a team about the culling the photos.
Mm-hmm.
You have also a team, you work like an assistant.
So
on assistant photographer.
I call them a bit differently, with different names. So I do have an amazing team, first of all. I'm very proud of my team. We are getting so many compliments all the time from the vendors we work with. I'm very proud of the guys I'm surrounded with. My most common, let's say, team is Dimitris, who is my additional photographer, and Michalis, who is an assistant. So now let me explain you. An additional photographer is photographer with whom I can trust, with whom I work for many years. I know that we can easily split, and I'll be certain that he will produce a very good quality of images. We often work with Dimitris most of the weddings. Assistant is someone who is not taking photos. So sometimes Dimitris has his own assistant and I have mine. Mine is Michalis. I also love him very much. So assistant is someone who is not taking pictures. He is there to help with equipment. I work quite a lot with off-camera flash. So sometimes I require someone holding it for me on the monopod. Just making sure that the whole photo shoot or a wedding runs smoothly, that everyone is on time. Like if anything is needed, I know there is a person by my side who will make my life easier. And this was a game changer, I have to say.
So you didn't have him from your start?
No, I used to work like solo or with, it depends on, like years ago, I would have, if needed, a second photographer, additional photographer with me. But having an assistant, like as an assistant, it was not in my wildest dreams. And I wouldn't even imagine, like I would have to also an extra person to travel. You know, back then the weddings that I was doing also didn't have a budget to pay for that kind of team, so it was not on the radar. But then when I tried it out for the first time, I was like, oh my god, this is,
I want it.
Yes, it changed my life. Honestly, I feel so confident. I know that there is always someone, like in terms of assistant, to help me to make sure that we're staying on time, because it's crucial on the wedding day to respect the timeline. He has his own program. He usually, what one of the job that assistant does for me is to remind me about key points. So we agree, and he tells me, like for instance, we're photographing a bridal preparation, and he tells me, Anna, 15 minutes more, and that's it. I know I have 15 minutes more, and
then you're not 5 minutes getting before, access there.
No, I'm very glad that there is someone telling me this. And it's also the brides and bridesmaids, they hear that in 15 minutes that we have something else planned. So it helps keeping everyone else organized, and I don't have to be playing this role only, you know, by myself and the photographer and the manager of the timeline and the whole group. So it definitely helps a lot.
And while working with Thanos?
Oh. I mean, Thanos, as peace, my husband, very proud of him, amazing photographer. I am his biggest fan. I absolutely love working with him. We often lately get hired to photograph an events together. And for us, it's like a bliss, because besides that, okay, we love each other very much and we love being together, and traveling together is great. When we work together, it takes our work and the final result onto another level, because having two lead photographers is like having two strong talents on your team. So when you have to split, you split equally. Like I'm going to go to the bride, he will go to the groom, and we are both feeling very relaxed that the other person will do his job perfectly. So we actually working on launching a common studio together. It's going to be called Rata. We're super excited about this. This will allow us to promote our common work together, and especially because we already working so much on so many events together, it just makes a lot of sense to join the forces officially, I would say, in the creative field.
When it's gonna be launched?
So we are done with the branding, we're done with the logo, with the concept. We're working on the site right now, so this is something that takes a little bit more time. As usual, we want to make it perfect, we want to make it really strong and different, so we're both super picky. So hopefully in a month in a month and a half, maybe we're going to have it launched.
Okay, we're waiting.
Yes, yes, me too, me too. I'm very excited.
So I have the last guest question now. What's the feature you are missing from the camera you are using right now?
Okay. From whom?
It's from Ferguaristi.
Great. Okay, not surprised. Well, not an easy question. It's a funny question, actually. Let me think. You know what happens to me often on the wedding day is that when I photograph something, especially when it's not like a documentary moment, like a ceremony, let's say bridal portraits, bridal preparations, or a couple couple's photo shoot, I can get carried away very easily. Like I have my creative juices flowing, so I can take photos. I cannot stop, you know. It's never enough for me. So I have my assistant for that. It's also part of his, you know, responsibilities to keep me on track and say, Anna, you know, we have to go. It's time. So I was thinking that maybe if I can log in into the camera some details and timings, especially for the wedding, and my camera on a display could show me like an overlay on left or right of some key points. So I would see the current time and I see that in 15 minutes or in that many minutes, you know, we have another thing. So that would actually save a lot of back and forth and my assistant wouldn't have to worry about this, wouldn't have to pull phones or whatever printed versions of the timeline to see what's next. That would be amazing, actually.
So you can customize it.
You're like logging the information, like you can log in the timeline there, so and it displays somehow, or maybe even like the names of the parents of the bride, parents of the groom, or brothers, sisters, because there are many things
that you have
to memorize. So you have there like mother, Jennifer, dad, you know, okay. Dimitris. I have to patent this. I love that. Yes.
You are the first to say about
yes.
this. So it's okay.
Okay. So the date is, 12th of March, 8 p.m. Greek time.
Okay. That's all. That was the episode. Thank you very much.
Thank you for having me.
It was very
me.
Nice.
It
really.
Was a pleasure. I loved it. Thank you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
Anna Roussos, thank you for being part of this podcast. We hope you enjoyed this interview as much as we did. Subscribe and stay tuned for more.